Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, it was an interesting week. It has been an interesting week. Today, of course, the Tony nominations are announced as we speak, in fact. And by the way, they made a good choice for the host of that show in a few weeks in June in Oscar winner Ariana DeBose. Anyway, we shall see the snubs and we'll be talking about the snubs and the saviors, those that may help struggling shows. Now, my week started off with one of those. That's, I guess, is too late to save. That's the recently opened for colored girls who consider suicide when the rainbow is enough. This one has a long history. Most recently, the Public Theater brought it back, where it did very well, and led them to the decision, not always a good one, to put it on Broadway. Alas, as well performed as it was, and by the way, it's getting a number of these Tony nominations, but it has already announced its closing, so I don't think there's any way of going back. The audiences just were not there. The competition is very stiff right now. So many shows opened in April. So the talented rainbow of seven storytelling women was just not enough. Now, sometimes shows are truly meant to stay small. For example, the next show I saw this past week, by the way, all four that I saw this week are written by and about women. This one is at Theater Row's smallest venue on 42nd Street. It's called Hitler's Tasters. Now, written by Michelle Kolos Brooks, I first saw this several years ago at an even tinier venue. I liked it then, and I like it even more now. Of course, the timing on this one is pretty damn interesting. We have an autocratic leader, ongoing war, even the subject of poison. Here, as was true, young women are more than willing to risk their lives to taste the Führer's meals before he does. We have this job, one girl says, and she's quickly corrected by another one. The honor, you mean. This is an honor. Well, some of the lines in this 90-minute, very tight and beautifully performed piece resonate. The Reich tells us what we want to know. Anything else could be fake. The set is comprised of one table, three chairs, but the lines have surprising power and even some humor. Why not have the Jews taste the food, suggests one of the girls. Well, put it in the suggestion box, comes the reply. Speaking of resonance, there is plenty in Alice Childress's 1966 play called Wedding Band. The subtitle of that is A Love-Hate Story in Black and White. Now, this one is set in 1918 under the cloud of war, the first one, and a pandemic. Yep. In Charleston, South Carolina, where Childress was born. It's performing at the always challenging Theater for a New Audiences production at the Polanski Shakespeare Center in Brooklyn. The show runs 2.5 hours. It's long, and there's a lot of fighting, loving, debilitating health, and trying to survive in the darkest days of the deepest South. Childress has had something of a comeback. Trouble in Mind played on Broadway this season, got some Tony nominations, you'll see. This is rather amazing for a woman who died in 1982. She was the first important Black female playwright, inspired so many others. Now, Wedding Band focuses on a white man's relationship with a Black woman, when, of course, it was illegal. They're portrayed by the spectacular Brittany Bradford and Thomas Sadowski. The whole cast of about a dozen actors on one outdoor, beautifully done set is truly excellent. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, and always, is POTUS, written by a very young and new playwright named Selena Fillinger. It's directed by the veteran Susan Stroman. It just opened on Broadway, and it's an out-and-out X-rated farce. POTUS deals with the seven women behind the man in the White House. All we ever see of him are a pair of legs. There was a lot of laughter the night I went, especially every time Rachel Dratch appears in a progressively unhinged state. The fine cast includes Vanessa Williams as First Lady and Julie White at her shrillest, most hysterical best as the Chief of Staff. This one has an intermission, and basically it feels like a series of sketches. Now, humor cannot be judged and is obviously subjective. I laughed and cried a lot through Billy Crystal's Mr. Saturday Night, also a Tony nominee. At POTUS, well, not so much, but I admired the energy and talent on that stage. POTUS will definitely find its fans, perhaps many of those who were pouring in to see Six, also all women complaining about a powerful man, in that case, a famous English king. And speaking of England, I am looking forward to one of my favorite actors, Wendell Pierce, bringing his Death of a Salesman to Broadway. It had a successful run in London in 2019. The American actor, Wendell Pierce, is best known for his work on The Wire. He was apparently hungering to bring this performance to New York, and now he will get his chance on Broadway next season. And Pierce will once again star opposite Sharon D. Clarke, a British actress who wowed critics and audiences and Tony voters in New York this season with the revival of the musical Caroline or Change. Pierce and Clarke played Willie and Linda Loman, and Clarke won an Olivier Award as Best Actress. So anyway, Broadway is alive and well, though not for all shows, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a few more fall earlier than scheduled, maybe based on these nominations. The big names are still the guarantees: Hugh Jackman, Sarah Jessica Parker, Matthew Broderick, Daniel Craig's Macbeth, which was poorly received but sold out its run apparently before it even opened. Though I did see half-price tickets for Macbeth on that one this past weekend. So, by the way, nothing is beyond walking up to that box office a day of the show and seeing what's available. Anyway, Jill, more reviews next week and obviously reactions to the nominations.
It is interesting how but let's not forget, and in all of this, that there were shows that were successful and shows that weren't. I'm going to put it this way: shows that found an audience and shows that didn't, no matter what.
That's right.
So there is going to be an inevitable shakeout, or some. That's not quite the right word, but you know, but that doesn't necessarily speak to the health of.
No, I think the two to watch right now, and actually they just nominated, Paradise Square got a lot of nominations, and it was believed that that one really is going to depend on the Tony nominations. Wasn't doing very well, was only mediocre reviews, including my own. But it's up for Best Musical, got a lot of the technical nominations, so that could save that one. Girl from the North Country, I always talk about that as, you know, I never thought it was really a Broadway show as much as I liked it, but I got a lot of nominations, I noticed. So maybe that can go beyond the 6 weeks they said were lasting. So, you know, there's just, Rainbow, I don't know if they'll try to bring that back based on, but most of these nominations they got. And it got very good reviews. That was the other thing. The New York Times gave the Colored Girls and the Rainbows not enough a rave review, and the next week it announced its closing date. So I don't know what that says about the power of the New York Times review anymore, whether reviews matter. It's all up for grabs. It's an interesting time, but it was a very full month. Hey, I'm still catching up.
Hey, I was just curious. You like that show, right?
Which one?
Colored Girls?
Not particularly.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
I talked about it last week.
Yes, you did, and now we're this week. The reason I'm saying that is because finances are in a bit of an uproar now too.
Sure.
So I don't even know if we can do quote the power of the New York Times unquote. If you have an audience situation that like the best you can do is eh.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, word of mouth is still important. You know, I didn't dislike For Colored Girls, and I really liked it at the Public. It's a little dated. You know, do we need a show right now? And again, I know people who invested in it. I would have liked it to have succeeded. Do we need another show of six black women complaining about the men in their lives? I don't know. You know, maybe we've had too many of those kinds of shows lately. Maybe it's just, you know, some shows are dated. A lot of people feel Music Man was dated.
What is dated? I'm just trying to make sure that the term dated has not been redefined to be convenient. Because there's the whole. It used to be fun when I was growing up, and this was a long time ago, mind. But to see people and things and portrayals from another era. That kind of used to be enjoyable. It's like, no, we didn't go marching down. We had parades, but I do know that in Buffalo, New York, at that time, like we were past the Music Man by about 40 years.
That's right. And a lot of people are. On the other hand, you can't get a ticket for that show under $500, and I enjoyed it. I saw a show this weekend that I'm going to talk about next week that I saw 20 years ago, How I Learned to Drive.
Right.
You know about that one, which is about... an odd relationship between a young girl and her uncle.
Odd being a good word, a diplomatic word.
Yes, and let me tell you, it had more power for me this time. I'll talk more about it in terms of my own life, something to relate to, maybe as we've gotten older. I think the same actors are bringing more to it. I'll talk about it. But now that's one that you would think would be dated, but that one is hitting a moment. That's the opposite of dated. It's hitting a moment where this discussion has been going on so much, women and men, et cetera. Nothing to do with race, obviously. This one is more the sexual thing. And so, you know, who knew? So it could go both ways. It could be dated right and it could be dated wrong.
I'm going to still quibble because that's the kind of person I am. I'm still going to quibble with the word dated.
Yeah,
I'm going to ask the word police to find a different word or different term for, you know, something that was written a while ago.
Well, that's right.
Because it could, and perhaps it has to do with relevance.
That's, and you know, one of the words I used, I think, three times a day was resonance. And listen, Alice Childress's plays are all coming back, and if they don't resonate, my God, these were plays that were written. So, yeah. Relevance, resonate. I said it about Hitler's tasters. Who knew this tiny little thing with three women tasting the Führer's food and talking about poison would, wait a minute, aren't we talking about some of those same things today? So who knows? You know, again, you can hit the right moment and I guess you could hit the wrong one.
So do you want to say there's no business like show business or do you want me to?
You can say it.
There's no business like show business.
There you go. Great. See you next week.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.